This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053. You want to get involved in the conversation, you got me, Kevin Hagelin. The return of Corey Majors, the famous Alec Medford. And today we have Jim with us. He won KNC for a day and has actually been doing a really fabulous job so far. Jim, you're halfway through the show. How do you think the show has gone?
Great, as always.
So. Yes!
Your experience so far is good, too.
Enjoying it immensely.
How much did you hate the music Kevin was playing during the break, though?
I just put it out of my mind.
Thank you. All right.
Teach me how to do that.
You played the national anthem on a kazoo, and I don't understand what happened
to be
here.
Fair, it was a video. Okay. I didn't bring out a kazoo and play the national anthem.
I swear, if you do that next.
Oh, my God. I'm going to learn that.
No,
it's
you are not.
It's difficult to learn. You just blow into
stop
it.
Stop incur... Huh? Oh.
So, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for NFL overreaction or reality. And Jim, we're going to start with you on this. Overreaction or reality, the Chiefs' 9-year run atop the AFC West is over.
Overreaction. They'll be good next year also.
Okay. Corey, what say you? Are we done with the Chiefs atop the AFC West?
I think that's an overreaction. Their defense is going to continue to carry a lot for them. They still have Steve Spagnuolo. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback. He wasn't amazing last year. I'm still interested in how they were able to do it, but it was a lot of defense.
If he's just fine this year,
he's going to have to find a weapon to replace Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Like they had multiple tight ends that could do the job last year, but he's going to have to figure out how to get that number one receiver production. But they're still going to be fine. That division, though, is interesting because Harbaugh had the Chargers looking just like the Chargers of typical, but Denver looked
they
a lot
were better
different
than I thought they would be, yeah, for sure. All right, NFL overreaction or reality. Let me explain this one a little bit. Justin Fields can be the NFL's next riches to rags back to riches story. Now, you've seen it with Sam Darnold, Geno Smith. Do you believe that Justin Fields could be the next quarterback that was drafted highly, kind of cast to the side, and then came back up in the world?
Are we, Jim, going first year?
And who's he playing for next year?
He is playing for the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
I think that says it all. He won't be very good.
I love Jim.
I do too.
I'm with Jim 100% there. The Jets are an organization that perpetually underperforms, and they'll find a new way to do it even with him. I feel like, though, the one thing is he's going to have a lot of freedom to make mistakes. And yeah. this will be like the first time teams have actually taken the leash off, maybe. But Garrett Wilson's a really good receiver. And so, and he played with him at Ohio State. So they should have a connection immediately.
Now, there might be other candidates that I didn't really think of off the top of my head. But Alec, I'm going to go to you for this one to start. NFL overreaction or reality? The Buffalo Bills are the NFL fan base most desperate for a Super Bowl.
I think maybe because they got so close so many times and there's a boogeyman in their conference that goes by the name of Patrick.
Yeah.
So I'd say yes. Just because of the circumstances, I feel like there's a lot of other teams out there that haven't smelt success in a long time, but I think the desire and the need for it grows immensely when you get that close, but yet so far away at the same time.
Yeah.
And they have all the right tools, right? They have a head coach that's won in the league before. They have the quarterback that now has an MVP underneath his pocket. Like, they've got some good skill position players in James Cook and company. It seems like they've got it figured out, right? So I'd say, yeah, that's a reality.
Corey, what say you?
Overreaction, it's the Cowboys. It's been forever since the Cowboys won a Super Bowl, Kevin.
Okay, but it's actually been forever since the Bills, Browns, or Lions won a Super
Bowl. Fans are getting frustrated with this team, though. I don't know if you were here last year or not and saw the fan text, Kevin.
I did.
And so
they are frustrated.
They are frustrated. I don't think Bills fans are frustrated. I think they're just like, this is great.
No?
We get to experience this every year. I think they're still very supportive of what the Bills are. I don't think they're turning on them like the Cowboys fans seem to be around here.
Jim, overreaction to reality, the Bills are the NFL fan base most desperate for a Super Bowl. What say you?
Say reality. I'm not sure who's even close.
The only other two that I thought of in the conversation is I feel like the Browns and the Lions might be in that mix. And obviously, the Browns are kind of stuck right now. But for the Lions, they have been really close or close adjacent the last couple of years. But you're going to go with Buffalo? I'm with you on that. All right, NFL overreaction or reality. The Chicago Bears offensive line is the most improved unit early in the new league year. They have replaced their right guard, their left guard, their center. They have totally redone the middle of that offensive line, and obviously they needed it. They probably haven't had good offensive line in, what, like 10 years?
Mm-hmm. They learned last year that no matter how good the weapons are on the outside, they had three really good receivers on that team, but no matter how good they are there,
play can't develop.
If you can't get enough time for Williams. Now, Caleb Williams still has to learn how to let go of the ball earlier.
That's fair.
He does. He's waiting for the big play on every single play, and that was a problem for him last year, but the blocking up front and their inability to run effectively was a big problem for them last year too. So I think I like what you're saying there. I think they have done a really good job. Reality.
Jim?
I think it's reality, but maybe the Commanders have done some things too, I think, to add to
their team. So. Which you hate to hear because the Commanders already outpaced the Cowboys last year, obviously. And then they have gotten more better. That's right. Then the Cowboys have gotten more better this offseason. So that leads to an even bigger gap. Alec, I don't see how you can find any logic or any fallacy of logic of what I just said. But do you go with the Bears offensive line as the biggest specific upgrade in the NFL this offseason?
I need to learn how to translate pig Latin real quick. But I'd say this is a reality that it felt like there was one glaring need, right? Outside of a new head coach.
Yeah.
And they addressed it in four different ways.
They did.
So when the assignment is that simple and that clear, I don't want to say simple because it sounds like, oh, just go sign four guys and put them on the offensive line. But when the assignment is that clear and you execute that plan with, in my opinion, on paper, we haven't seen it play yet, with flying colors.
Yes.
I think it's hard to put anybody up against that in terms of just offseason success.
All right, I'm going to come back to you in just one second, Alec. I want to go to Jim on this one because of something he just said. That actually leads perfectly into another one of my overreactions or realities. All right, Jim, we're starting with you here. Overreaction or reality, the Commanders with the acquisition of Deebo Samuel, Laremy Tunsil are better than the Eagles.
They're improved, but the Eagles are still a lot stronger.
Okay.
So,
Alec, this is a bold one. Could the Commanders be better? Are the Commanders better than the Eagles now?
I don't think they're better, but I think they could win a playoff game against them. I think we saw how close they were in talent. It just kind of got away from them there towards the end this year. I don't think on paper they're going to be better, but I do think they will be better coached and more motivated than the Eagles, which it's not, you can't measure that whatsoever, but it seems like Dan Quinn-led teams will just run through a brick wall and overperform at levels that you can't really comprehend. And Nick Sirianni
like
teams,
that.
Yeah, Nick Sirianni teams seem to hate each other at times. So, you know, I don't know how long that can hold together through a postseason. So, you know what? Sure. I think they can be better.
Did you talk yourself into that along the way?
I did. Remember I said like an hour ago, I can talk myself into any situation. Just talked myself into believing that the Commanders are better just because I'm sick of the Eagles being good. Stop.
I think Alec made a lot of very good points and almost talked me into it. But aww. Jim's right. I can't go against the team that just won the Super Bowl and looked very comfortable the entire season.
That's
doing
a fair
it.
Fair point.
And then throughout the playoffs looked very comfortable at it too. Like they I mean, hell, look at the Super Bowl score. they looked as comfortable as you could get against who we just said is still considered one of the best teams in the league.
Now, I want to ask you and Jim a bonus question real quick, because me, Zach, and Alec got to kind of go through this yesterday.
The kazoo thing?
Not the kazoo thing. Overreaction or reality? If Ashton Jeanty is there at pick 12 and the Cowboys don't take him, you will be sad.
Who are they taking instead?
Can't answer that.
The field?
Shador.
Abdul Carter?
Okay, well, probably not him. That I think we'd all be thrilled. But let's say it's just whoever is Dane's 12th player in the Beast.
Okay, so it's a good player.
Yeah, so it's a good player.
Yeah, I would be sad, but not completely beaten to death about it, because they're going to get a running back. They're going to get a running back in this draft. It's going to happen. Although they do feel confident by signing Miles Sanders that they're like, we're good at the position just in case, but they're going to get one. And this is a very deep running back class. So, but then
that is true.
To have the special one would be something that you would kind of miss out on. But I would say, nah, I'm all right.
All right, Jim, same question for you.
I'd be sad and disappointed, because I think the chance for a special one is there, and they ought to take that opportunity and have a difference maker, and that might help them get to the next level.
Yeah. Okay. And then they could trade him for Anthony Davis.
No,
Jerry knows how to get headlines.
Yeah, but he loves star players more than anything.
That is true. That is true.
Like, that's the thing.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode, where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
About why the Luka deal never would have happened with Jerry in charge, because I know people are upset about Jerry, and I hear you on all of that, but a star player getting traded away? Surely you jest. He'd be like, I'll trade him to you for Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's all that would have happened. All right, probably the last one for you today. NFL overreaction or reality? The 49ers Super Bowl window is closed. I know they still have McCaffrey. I know they said they're sticking with Brock Purdy and he's their guy. But man, did they shed a lot of talent to start the beginning of the NFL year.
I think it is closed.
Okay.
I think Shanahan's a very good coach. and offensively they can get things rolling. They just keep rolling in the same system on defense, no matter who the coordinator is. They're just like, yeah, we're going to run something that's physical, fast. But as players age, they aren't as physical or as fast as they typically are. So I think they're going to have to restock and replenish there.
I think they've got 1 year left. I think McCaffrey's got another year in him. And so it's 1 year and then the window closes.
And that's still cheap Brock Purdy if that is the route you decide to go. Alec, where do you fall on this?
Not only is the door closed, I think it got slammed shut, and I think that the tumblers and the locks got thrown off track, and wow. it's not gonna happen. I think they're absolutely cooked right now, and not even trying to be extreme. They're about to have to pay the quarterback. And that's the ultimate key to quick success in the NFL is how quick can you succeed while the quarterback is still super affordable, especially when he's the dead last pick in the NFL draft. You are getting him for bottom of the barrel money. You're about to have to give him somewhere near, if not above, market value just because he's a quarterback. They've had to trade away some guys. They've had to cut some guys. They've had to make coaching staff changes recently too. And like Corey was saying, it seems like they're going to run the same schemes no matter who is there running things. I mean, heck, the last guy was so bad at doing it that he's now the Cowboys special teams coach. So I don't know. I think the window's closed.
Something you said before this question made me ask this question.
Okay.
Who is the most famous football player to ever play? Because you were talking about stars and who Jerry likes, and then you said Mahomes, and I was like, Has he taken that over? Is it Brady?
I don't think so, because I think I would still go with Tom Brady.
So Brady.
Because I feel like everybody
everything.
Knew who Tom Brady was. And then, like, Tom Brady has some other things that work for him as well. Like, I know people know who Brittany Mahomes is, but, like, everybody knew who Giselle is and
for
was.
The most part, nobody cared about the New England Patriots for a long, long time.
Yes.
Until Tom Brady came
Tom
along.
Brady reminds me a lot of Steph Curry in terms of he went to a franchise that was like, it was there. People were more or less indifferent about it. But then it became one of the hottest things in all of sports. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next. All right, we've talked about how we have Tolo Jim in for the day. It is the idea from Jim. What is the best in-person sports experience you've ever had, and why was it number one? There's a lot of different things that go behind this. Let's dive into it next right here on The Fan.
Adolis Garcia sends on the other way. That sends Carroll back.
That might not be the answer for Zach Wolchuk, but the question that we ask...
He wasn't there, right? He made Broadus leave.
Yeah, he left.
Or Broadus made him leave, yeah.
So the question comes from KNC for a day, his very own Jim. He's with us, won one of the auctions in November. So this question can have a lot of different answers. What's the best in-person sports experience you've ever had? And why was it number one? Maybe it's because of whoever you went with. Maybe it's what happened in the game. It could be any number of things. But I have a quick question, Alec. From the 469, my favorite in-person ever event moment, I hearken you back to 2000. WWE Fully Loaded was my first in-person wrestling experience. I was 12 years old. My mom dropped me off and picked me back up at Reunion Arena. Now, Corey, I would like you to weigh in on this question as well. If the rest of the information he says from there is inaccurate, do I correct him and potentially ruin that memory, or do I just say, you got it, buddy?
You let me ask a question.
Okay.
Did this wrestling event include Negan's bat Lucille, and then they threw his body down on top of the bat?
No, and we need to talk about that John Moxley spot from yesterday, because that was the most horrifying thing I might have ever seen in my life.
I think you just let it go. There are a lot of texts coming in.
Okay,
so.
All right. So The Rock did wrestle in the main event, and that was awesome. The other thing that I remember about that, I didn't, is that Rikishi jumped off the steel cage.
Oh, I remember that one.
Onto Val Venus.
Yes.
That was crazy, because that dude's like 400 pounds, and he just jumped off, and you're like, oh my gosh.
How'd he even jump?
from the 903. And see, and this is what I could see. And I don't know if this is part of the crux behind your question, Jim, but I love this answer from the 903. I literally ran into Steve Garvey at Dodger Stadium. I said, thanks for all the great baseball. We shook hands and then went our respective ways. That's my favorite moment. I mean, how could it not be? Like, especially if you grew up as a Dodgers fan, like that has to be a moment that's probably going to be really, really hard to surpass. By the way, Jim, before I get your answer to this, from the 469, Jim is great, by far the best in-studio winner y'all have ever had.
Wow.
Woo! All right, so Jim, walk me through what had this question pop into your head, and we'll go from there.
I was really just thinking about what you guys, you know, might have been, you know, your personal experiences, what, you know, whether it's, you know, seeing a kid do at an event or something that's professional. So, you know, it can get answered so many different ways. And, you know, for me, I got to go to the Rangers World Series game in Arizona. And so I went to that.
Game five?
In five.
Oh, my goodness. I told you Jim's got money.
With, you know, one of my sons, and, you know, the Rangers had been, so I got to experience it with one of my sons. It had been 30 years or, you know, first World Series. And I'd also been in St. Louis when they lost in 2011. Oh. So to kind of go full circle and, you know, have been in St. Louis where it was so close.
Yeah. Yes.
And then to, you know, then to see it, you know, be there in person. And so it was just a great, great experience. And
did you tear up?
Yeah.
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 It's worth it. How could you not, right?
Yeah, it's worth it.
And then I think it was, you know, and then the one thing you do miss, though, is afterwards, you know, you did hear Eric on the radio, and that was something to kind of hear.
Oh, my God.
To hear that afterwards, because when you're there, you're not hearing it.
Yeah.
So, and there was a great contingent of Ranger fans there, and the Arizona fans were, I think they kind of thought it was going to end, and so you didn't have a lot of jerks.
Right.
Who were, so it made it a, a good experience where you just didn't have a bunch of people giving you a hard time, and they let you enjoy the victory. So
I think it was watching Chuck Morgan stand there, and like he's at the stadium cheering all the guys on, and you could see him in the stands as all the Rangers were going over. That was a great moment. That's amazing.
Somebody dropped this in. God, there are a lot of texts. Said their favorite experience is they got to see the Allen Americans win four straight championships. I got to go on the ice for the very first championship they won.
Did you fall?
No, I didn't. I was that's because I was very aware of that possibility.
You put spikes in his shoes.
Oh my God. I walked so slow on the ice.
Were there nachos?
Not on the ice, but. And they won the cup because I'm pretty sure that was game seven overtime. Everyone was going nuts. And then afterwards, people in the locker room definitely asked if I wanted to hang out and party. But I had a deadline, so I did not. But I could have.
Yeah, I understand deadlines.
Corey?
All right. So during the 2011 NBA Finals, I was working for ESPN TV, their 3D department. I don't even know if that's a thing anymore.
Oh.
Yeah.
3D still exists.
They were trying to test it out. And so they're running stuff. So I was a showrunner all week while we were getting the arena ready, to the point where when the Miami Heat came into, like their bus pulled in, I was standing right there as they were getting off the bus, just mean mugging all of them. You're like, you suck and you suck and you suck. It was awesome. And then so because I had been there this whole time, I'd gotten to know people. So game five's coming along, and I was like, I'm going to this game. I didn't get a ticket, and I didn't have a media pass. I just snuck in because I knew the people there. I go in. I see Elf. First thing I do is I'm like, hey, where are you going? He's like, just follow me. And so I'm like, all right, I'm just following
him. He does seem like somebody, if you just followed, you'll get to where you need to go.
He did give me the, just act like you know where you're going. And I was like, I know this. So we got out on the court. I'm standing next to Big Smooth talking to Sam Perkins before game five. Standing there watching all this go on. And then I was like, I know people up in the press box. I'm just going to go up there. So I go up in the press box and I don't have a seat. All the seats are full. So I just stand in the back of the press box and watch game five from the top. And whenever these two moments happen, it was the loudest I've ever heard in arena.
Nowitzki trying to get free. Good ball denial again from Haslam. Shot clock at five. Terry the drive out to Kidd. Kidd for three. It's good. Mavericks by five. Timeout, Miami. Terry to Kidd. Nowitzki wants the ball. Haslam again. Excellent ball denial. Terry, a long three. Bang! Jason Terry gives the Mavericks a seven-point lead with 33 seconds remaining.
I just got chicken
I get
skin.
It. I get it.
I just got goosebumps all over my arms thinking about seeing that moment live and that crowd and knowing we're about to win this thing. There's no way they're coming back. It was awesome.
There are some incredible answers here already from the 817, the punch. And you know it's a big deal when, like, you don't, if you know, you know. Like, I don't need you to say who punched, who was playing, when did this happen? Like, you know, Rookie's just knocking those stupid glasses off of Batista's face. And it's amazing. So the punch is a, man, that is a really good answer right there. From the 817, and this is something that I can't imagine how this could ever be topped. From the 817, I went to Kenny Rogers' perfect game when I was six with my dad a little bit before he passed away. And that's a combination of amazing achievement and emotion that, like, I can't imagine that person ever experiences something quite like that. From the 817, I was at the Nelson Cruz walk-off grand slam the ALCS game.
That was awesome.
That was incredible.
Despite what happened later, that was still a special moment.
Sure. From the 682, my favorite in-person memory, I was at AT&T when the Cowboys beat the Lions in the playoffs. Thank you very much, refs, for helping out with that. From the 972, mine was a Wyatt Johnson hat trick just a few weeks ago. It was my first time seeing a hat trick in person. I have never seen an NHL hat trick in person. I've been to a ton of the Allen American games. I've seen that before, but I've never seen an NHL hat trick in person.
Would you throw your hat?
Yeah, probably.
Jim?
I've not seen one. If I had a hat, probably not.
No.
Oh, man. I like Jim. He just gets right to the point. Now, Alec, I want to go to you on this before we go back to the fan text, because I was also at this event that you're going to talk about.
I do want to throw out some news real quick, if I may.
Oh.
The Washington Commanders have announced they have signed wide receiver Michael Gallup.
Oh, wow.
He lands back in the NFL just after turning 29. And after a brief retirement stint, he's back in the NFL.
You would have guessed he's like 34, right?
Yeah, it felt like he played here forever, and he really didn't. But rooting for the guy, he's an awesome dude, and glad to see that he's back in the NFL. Just hate that he's in the division and not back here.
Yeah.
They have like 1,000 wide receivers on that roster.
Yeah, they
right
don't
now.
Need that is much, he, many man.
Is he on the team for week one?
No.
Ooh.
I don't think so. That's a
good question.
Because they got Debo, they got him, they got Noah Brown. Like, they're already a very deep. They got KJ Osborne. They got Luke McCaffrey.
Yeah.
They're already stacked. Yeah, McLaurin. Yeah, no, I don't think he makes it.
It would be weirdly poetic if he took Noah Brown's spot on the roster.
That would actually be really funny.
That would be really weird. But yes, this event, I know it's not quote unquote sports, sports entertainment. I get it. Cry about it. This was awesome. This was money in the bank. Fort Worth, Texas, at Dickies Arena, when the shocking return of this man happened.
Now the whole world can acknowledge me.
When John Cena returned in Fort Worth, Texas.
He did.
At Money in the Bank, right after the whole Thunderdome era had come to a close because of the pandemic. This was their first road loop after the pandemic activities. They hit the road. Cena had been off of TV for a while. Roman Reigns was probably the hottest he had ever been in his reign as Universal Champion. And John Cena comes out to that thunderous pop. My ears were ringing. I was screaming like a little girl. I remember I played my POV for Lucius the day, like 2 days after, I think, and he was crying, laughing because of my reaction as a grown-ass man. That was awesome. That will stick with me forever.
I remember that very vividly. If he's listening, because I know they listen, I hope Kevin Gray posts his video.
His video
of this
was amazing.
Because he and I were sitting next to each other in the second row. We were included on a WWE promo because of that return, and they had the cameras over. He freaked out. I freaked out. You, like,
it was right in front of you.
Yeah, exactly. And I know, like, if people want to bash wrestling, that's fine. Look, I like all kinds of things that technically aren't sports. So that doesn't bother me at all. But when you're there, it's so impossible to just not, like, get into the flow and have fun. And when he came out, you're like, what the hell? It was really, really cool.
From 903, Harold Crabtree, Mayhem and Ecstasy. Was that at Tech against UT?
Oh, man.
I was watching that one live. It was
that
back and forth. Yeah, it was amazing.
Was bananas. And you're like, holy crap, is Texas Tech the best team? Yeah.
Who's going to stop Michael Crabtree?
Absolutely. From the 903, best in-person sports experience, 2023 World Series at the Globe, Evaldi curtain call after his performance in Game 3 and the Adolis home run to ice it. Man, you could find so... Oh, the World Series run. So maybe that was in the ALCS because I think maybe Adolis was out by then. But that you could find so many games where Adolis hit a key home run in that run, especially in the ALCS. Oh, man. Alec, another wrestling one. The 817. One of the greatest memories is when I witnessed Kerry Von Erich beating Ric Flair to win the world title at Texas Stadium. That was the David Von Erich Memorial Show. He had like just died not that long before that. And I bet the emotion in that place for that was just off the freaking charts, man.
I'm jealous.
The 214, I got lost following Tiger at the Byron Nelson. And I think Tiger's only been to like one of them. But ended up sitting at a table with Moose talking football for an hour until my parents found me.
Dude, that's so awesome. And you're like, hey, Mom and Dad, go away.
Moose over here, jeez.
You know what? I think I might change my answer now. And Corey played a big part in this. It was the Final Four at AT&T Stadium.
This is so cool.
And, like, if you've ever been to AT&T Stadium and had to go up some of the elevators, they have one of those weird, confusing things, and I don't love it, where certain elevators only go certain places, and you're like, oh, you wanted that level? No, you need to go to that elevator that's, like, 10,000 feet away. So I called Core to see where he was, and was RJ in the suite, too?
RJ had asked me to go.
Okay.
Because I was just standing next to him, and I know CA was in the house, too, because all four of us were covering it.
And so we're at the Final Four. I'm talking with them, and they're like, hey, we're in a suite with Nancy Lieberman. Do you want to come up? And I was like, yeah, I do.
It was the NCAA suite,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, and so it was for the Final Four, and then Rolando Blackman was in there too, and he let me talk his ear off for like 7 minutes. He might have thought it was like 47 minutes, but it was awesome because you're like, hey, I get to go to the Final Four. That's super cool. Like, we got to walk on the court and everything. But then all of a sudden, now you're not only at the Final Four, you're in a suite. You're in the NCAA suite. You're in there with Nancy Lieberman and Rolando Blackman. It was amazing.
And in the suite next to us, Mark Colombo, Travis Frederick, and Tony Romo were all hanging out. And I think that's where Choppy disappeared and went and hung out with them for the rest of the night. Smart move on his part.
I could see it. Choppy can make things happen. From the 972, Nolan's 5,000th K. So essentially, we're asking, and this is all from the mind of our KNC for a day co-host, Jim.
Or as they put it, Jim and the KNC masterpiece.
That's true. That is very true. The best sports experience and why? So was it a team you were supporting? Was it the venue you were going to? Was it maybe the people that you were with? Somebody said Nolan Ryan's 5,000 strikeout. I was at that game when I was a little kid. Here's why it's not number one on my list. Because this is when my mom worked for Southwestern Bell. And we went on like a company trip up there. So we were all on like the Southwestern Bell bus or whatever. The bus driver got lost on his way to the stadium. And Nolan Ryan was not that far away from 5,000 strikeouts. And so you were kind of like, oh my God, if we miss the first two innings, we might be cooked. So we made it there, and we made it there in time. And I got to see the 5,000 strikeout. I sent in my ticket stub or whatever and got the Nolan Ryan 5,000 strikeout pin that I still have to this day. But for most of the day, I thought we weren't going to make it because the freaking bus driver didn't know how to get to a stadium. I don't know. Look at all the giant lights and all the blue.
Just like, go that's, to that direction.
Yeah, that's where it is.
That's what Mike does when we're in Arizona. Every time we get lost, he's like, I'm just going to drive to the lights because that's where our hotel is.
That is absolutely correct. From the 254, I went to the Kick 6 game in 2016. Oh. They said it was awesome. I'm assuming they're an Auburn fan or indifferent because I can't imagine any Alabama fan be like, it's cool now.
This is a really great moment in the sports.
Yeah.
Like it is of the last quarter century. The Ringer had it as like number 5 or something like that, or maybe number 2.
That is an all-time for sure. From the 469, I was at the game where Emmett broke the all-time rushing record. Dope. And from the 972, Dirk's last game.
That experience in itself.
I get it. Yeah, for sure.
Would have I cried just watching it at home. And I can't imagine what being in that arena and seeing all of Dirk's favorite players. We love Dirk in a way that I don't know how many other people and fan bases love their players. I feel like Kobe got that love from LA.
Sure.
You know, but we had the love that we had for Dirk, it's very unique to sports and fan bases, which is why obviously the Luka thing hurt so much because we were loving him the same way.
And this is a fascinating answer right here from the 469. I was at the last NFC Championship game in 95. My grandfather had also just passed away. The atmosphere was electric. I fell asleep from emotional exhaustion at one point during the game. But it was a great game. I mean, I can imagine, like, you have a loved one, a family member that passes away. That's probably exceedingly difficult to deal with. Then you're at a highly charged emotional sporting event. Like, you could crash out.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
For sure.
All right, man. A bunch of great answers. There's still a whole lot more. I might try to read off a few more of these in just a couple of minutes. But in the meantime, let's go to cut number 10 because the Major League Baseball season officially begins for the Texas Rangers in 1 week.
All right, pitch clock has been reset. Full count here to Seager. Semien on deck. And now the 3-2. Swing and a drive. Well hit ball deep right field. Leon going back, looking up, and this ball game is tied. Corey Seager launches his 23rd home run of the season to make it a 2-2 ball game.
Yeah, I know that technically the Major League Baseball season has already started. Dodgers 2-0, Cubs 0-2. But the Rangers start.
That's dumb, right? Have we discussed how dumb that is?
Are you taking the Gavin Dawson approach about how the import-export ratio for our sporting events might not be?
No.
I thought it was really funny the way you said it.
I think it's a really cool thing, but it separates. Baseball opening day is great. And
don't you think that's still going to be what most people think?
Probably
it's
so.
Opening day?
I guess it's just me that I'm just kind of like, it just seems like it doesn't exist to me. Like the season hasn't officially started.
I think that is a fair way to take it. Now, Jim, I'm going to give you the opportunity to pick where we go first. I have statistical projections for Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, Adolis, Langford, Berger, Eovaldi, Jacob DeGrom. Which player would you like us to start with?
Let's start with Wyatt Langford.
Wyatt Langford. The projected statistics for Wyatt Langford. Now, this is all based on betting, but I feel like this would be a disappointing season for a lot of Rangers fans. 18.5 home runs and 78.5 RBIs. Now, remember, this is for betting perspectives. So when you ask, like, what's a half a home run or whatever, considering he had 16-74 last year, would you not be disappointed? Maybe really disappointed if that's what Wyatt Langford had this season.
You know, he was hurt for what, 30 games or so?
Yeah.
So I think definitely be disappointed.
Yeah.
So he should exceed, you know, the hope would be that he'd exceed that.
If you're buying into Wyatt Langford, you should hit the overs pretty hard on this.
Yeah. 74 is an interesting number. Where, because where do we know where he is in the lineup? Is he third? is...
I think I could see that.
He, you know, if he's hitting third consistently, he might not get the opportunity to drive in 74 because maybe Corey Seager's cleaning up in front of him.
And it's 74 was last year. This year, 78 and 78?
Okay, 74. Maybe not even there. But the home runs, I do expect that to be higher. I would hit the over on that easy.
What would be your guess?
25.
I think that's a really good guess.
That's a number that I'll be comfortable throwing out there.
All right, Alec, I'm going to give you the next opportunity. Which Texas Rangers player statistics would you like to know after Wyatt Langford?
Ooh, give me Marcus Semien because he's got a weird trend of season to season slumps. I want to see where he goes here.
That is a great point because I feel like these projections are kind of made as if the good or the great season, mediocre season Marcus Semien days are over.
Okay.
And they're like, I'm going to stick with the mediocre season. So the projection's there. 23.5 home runs, 77.5 RBIs, and 92.5 runs. So those statistics are all kind of in line, if not even a tiny bit lower on the home runs than last year when... he's a really good player, but safe to say we all thought last year was disappointing for Marcus Semien.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, yes, his batting average was as low as it's been in 5 years. He just didn't seem to be getting the same pop that he wanted to.
For sure.
And he wasn't on base enough. And granted, the team wasn't good. The injuries That's piled true. Up on him and he still played 159 games with as bad as this as everything was around him.
He's an incredible specimen of, you know, like...
Durability.
Durability, that's the word I was looking for.
He set the bar really high, though, in 23. And that definitely is one of the reasons that you kind of look at it that way.
And I know we can't just go over on all of these, but I want to take you down to Jacob DeGrom. How many games do you think DeGrom is going to win? I'm not getting into the argument about if wins are a pitcher stat or I know that exists. I'm not having that debate right now. How many wins will Jacob DeGrom have this season?
6.
Oh. Alec?
25. No.
That's too many.
I wish.
I don't think he's had more than 15 in his career.
That would be amazing.
Is that right? Oh my gosh.
I'll go 8.
Okay. Jim, how many wins?
I'm going to be hopeful in 10.
Okay.
Kevin, I want to point some numbers out real quick.
Point them.
The year that he won 15 games, his ERA was 3.53.
Oh, wow.
The year that he won 4 games, his ERA was 2.38, and he pitched... he pitched only 12 games that year.
That was the COVID year, right?
I believe so. And then the year after his 15 games, he won 10 with a 1.70 ERA. And he pitched in 32 games that year.
Okay.
But it's been a while since he's pitched more than 15 games or at least gotten to 15 games.
All right. So he could win the Cy Young with 10 wins. Man, maybe you don't hit the over on this one. 8.5.
Yeah.
Is the over-under win total for Jacob DeGrom. Are you more optimistic about his ERA? Over-under 2.99. That feels like a decent under bet right
I will
there,
take
right?
the under. I will definitely take the under on that. The only time he's been over that since 2017 was 2022. That's the only time he's ever been over it.
Oh, so. Wow. Okay. Jimmy, taking
I'll,
the under?
I'll take the under. I think the issue is durability, and so for I sure. think it's... How many games does he pitch versus...
Okay, so I'll throw it out there.
If we could take a little bit of Semien's durability and apply it to DeGrom and a little bit of DeGrom's pitching ability and apply it to Semien, we'd be great.
Which would you rather have, though? You'd rather have Semien durability on DeGrom,
yes.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, let's say I say he starts 22 games this year.
All right.
Does that sound low?
I'm taking that ERA low. Oh, 22 games?
Yeah.
I think that's high.
Okay.
I think I would probably be more in the 18 range is kind of how I feel.
Yeah.
Because I think they're going to treat him with white gloves. I really do.
That's probably true.
They want to get him to the playoffs. They need to be there. They need to get there, but they want him to be available for that because it gives them a better opportunity to do the Nate Eovaldi, Jordan Montgomery combo.
If you're going low on another number, especially when you said that number starts. 155 and a half strikeouts for Jacob DeGrom. That hasn't happened in 6 years.
So if
now I realize the COVID year was 2020, so that kind of wipes it out. He would have gotten there for sure in 2020, but it's been a minute.
He's, based on my numbers, he's going to have to strike out just over 10 people per game that he
starts.
It's
going to be a lot. You're gonna need.
What he can do? Like, he can do that. He's a 10 strikeout guy.
All right, you guys have the opportunity. Here are the selections I have left for if you want to know. We probably only have time for one or two more. Eovaldi, Berger, Adolis, and Seager.
Those are all great names. I like it.
But you can only pick one.
Adolis.
Okay. Adolis Garcia. 25 and a half home runs. 84 and a half RBIs. So if you look at it, it's pretty much they have it exactly in line with what he did last year. And so I'll say this again, much like we talked about Marcus Semien earlier. If Adolis Garcia has a season like last year, or maybe even just a little bit better than last year, that is a disappointment, is it not?
Yeah, I think he's having a season more like, let's say, 2021, where okay. He had 31 home runs, 90 RBI. That was still, it seems like the RBIs are low.
Yeah.
But that's more in range of what I'm expecting. He hit 243 that year. I'm expecting him to be back this year. I really am. I'm not thinking that this dude's coming back this year and having a similar type of last year.
Alec, what do you think about the prospects of the Adolis bounce back here as opposed to the betting odds saying he'll probably be in about the same spot?
I think Corey's right. I think I'm there with him that this will be a bounce back year. And if he does get back to form to what we're used to, I think Adolis Garcia is more like a 3,100 guy. So I'm taking the over.
Jim, you think bounce back year or no?
I'm actually thinking that Semien is more likely to have a bounce back year, and Adolis, I think, is on a decline and so will not have a bounce back year.
Okay.
Sadly.
I mean, look, Adolis just turned 32, so that might be the case. Now, I said it would be tough to beat that one specific experience about going to see the perfect game right before your dad passed and seeing it with your dad. Now, this is not a competition among all people, but this is probably going to be tough to defeat as well. From the 903, their best sports experience, they were at the Odor punch game, and it happened right about 10 minutes after this person asked his wife to marry him.
Wow. So he asks his wife to marry him. She said no. And then Odor punches this guy. And he's like, yes.
I don't think those two were necessarily related.
Oh. Did she say yes?
I mean, he said it is his wife.
Makes sense.
So.
Could have been a different wife.
I don't know if this is an Angel Reese situation where she said no and then he rebounded and put it back in or not.
What?
We're the KNC masterpiece. The Shot, you guys. Come on.
You should go ahead and mark that one. I don't know if you already have a stack full based on how things went this week.
Coming up next, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
You need to raise your kids to be data collectors. Next on The Fan.